Welcome to Empowered, Mind Body Inspiration. The mind is the map to wholeness, wellness, health. The heart is the key to genius and inspiration. Join me and my guests as we explore how to release and rewire into who you truly are, unique, whole, and empowered. Please like, share, and subscribe. Spiral up, spiral out. Welcome, everyone. Today we have Reverend Dr. Sharon Elizabeth James, also known as Baba Sharon. She has been on a conscious spiritual path from the beginning of her life and experienced cosmic consciousness at 2.5. She has always been aware of the invisible realms, seeing them as part of our life on here on Earth. And I'm excited to talk to you so much about what's going on our planet now and some of the things you're working on. Welcome.
Thank you, Jane. I'm so happy to be here. Well, oh my goodness, there's a lot of things that are going on, but what I'll do is I want to say to the audience here that it's time for us to be empowered as to who we truly are. And who we truly are these magnificent spiritual beings of light. Those that would be listening most certainly to this broadcast, there's that part of you that knows there's something so much more than just our physical, mental, and emotional existence on a material 3D world. And so we would fall into that category of seekers. Like, we know there's something more, we're seeking for that. And as we go on our seeking journey, which is really our soul pulse, this higher part of ourselves, this pulling on us out of this world of Maya, this world of illusion, or, you know, a manipulated construct, if you will. Okay. And just as how now in our civilization, we understand virtual reality and they can create things. Why could not that be happening on a higher level by whoever, right? So anyway, one of the things I had an experience some years ago, well, I'm going to give you the evolution of the experience. Many, many, many decades ago, I was impressed with, you know, the idea of what we now call ascension, that the planet and all, in fact, our entire solar system, in fact, our whole galactic mother, okay, is going moving into, it's a force of evolution that we have to not stay stagnant. We have to move in a higher direction, if you will. And I was shown, there was a show called The Price is Right. I don't know, they may still have reruns of that. But in this show, you had to select like a door number one, door number two, door number three. So I was shown this analogy saying like door number one, okay, we could have a smooth ride going into this ascension. A door number three is the real roughy, bumpy ride. And door number two would be like the middle between those two. It'll be kind of medium. I'm shooting for door number two. Okay, I'm shooting for door number two because it really has to do with the collective, you know, unconscious of humanity, primarily the human kingdom that's, you know, supposed to be in charge and the guardians of the earth, rest of the kingdoms on the planet and on the planet. And unfortunately, you know, humanity or large sections of humanity have forgotten that they are the stewards of this land, of this world. And so what the experience is going to be, as Bob Marley says, I always like to quote him, you can't stop the tide. We're going to be moving forward. Those forces, those cosmic forces already in action and will continue to be. How we experience it is going to be our choice because we are here in this particular creation where there is choice, there is duality. And so we are empowered as co-creators, which that's who we truly are, for we hold the similitude of the divine. We hold the image of the creator. So we are like baby co-creators too. We have that aspect. So we have choice and we're creators. And so those two combinations of what we choose to do or what we remember who we are is going to do, temper how we're going to experience this. Now, the good news is that, well, first, let's get rid of the bad news. The bad news is that, oh my goodness, it seems to be that humanity is so thick, you know, it's just trying to get it and not awakened yet. But there's many people who are awake, awakening, and will continue to awaken. And they'll say, wait a minute, I'm not just this global, you know, creation. I'm a galactic creation. I'm a cosmic creation. Like, whoa, wait a minute. There's a much bigger story out there. I need to find out the whole cosmic story. And then when you start on that, then your awareness, your consciousness, who you are makes this tremendous shift. And then you can understand a quote, for example, of Jesus the Christ. He said, you know, you are in the world, but you're not of it. And that makes a lot of sense to say, yeah, I'm in the world, but I'm definitely not of what's going on here. And so we have to also bring into the dynamic that there are those forces out there that would like to keep us for their own agenda limited. So I always, you know, that proverbial picture of this baby elephant, you know, that has a little rope around its foot and it's tied to a stake and it stays there because it's been programmed from very young. You can't move. It becomes this majestic, powerful beast, and it's still programmed looking at that little tiny stake, which the only thing it needed to do was just move its foot and it would be taken out. But it doesn't know that. And so there are those forces there that want to keep that majestic being. This is the program. You can't move. When, say, for example, that elephant just fell over for some reason or tripped, and it picked up the stake when it fell over and it looks at the stake and it's like, what? You mean I've been staying all this time limited and I could have, you know, been free all this time by just picking it up? So that's where we are. We are now deprogramming a program that doesn't necessarily on these other forces want us to be free or sovereign beings or moving into our natural evolution that we don't have to continually come back on the wheel of rebirth over and over and over. There's something beyond that, but it's like a glass ceiling. We keep on tipping on it and coming back, tipping on it and coming back. So you have to think cosmically. You cannot think on a little planetary basis. It's much larger than that. So, you know, there are certain things in our lives that, you know, we may have some dreams that come up that are significant. You know, there are other things where there's flashes of inspiration or the idea, deja vu. There's so many things, this internal gut feeling, this sensing. These are the greater part of ourselves that many of us experience. But what happens? We're like, nah, the mental, the program comes in like the elephant. Nah, I can't pull my foot from that stake. That stake has me there. So it takes things. Sometimes the universe has to bring in a lot of disruption to just break us free of this, you know, mental prison we have ourselves in. That is perhaps, you know, door number three. If it has to really shake us up that way, it's going to do what it needs to do. But what if we could have door number one or even door number two, where that elephant goes into contemplation and thinks and says, I'm large, that's small. It would seem to me I could trust my intuition that I may have the power to overcome that power. You know what I mean? And so you have your contemplative elephant, and then the elephant says, well, I'm going to try it, and moves the stake. That's real easier than, you know, some sort of earthquake or something with the elephant, and it moves, and it says, oh, I can do this. So one of the things I wanted to share with your audience is the reminder of who we are, okay? And you are not your body, you're not your hair, your body feels sick or your body feels energetic. So you have to think and say, okay, I'm an animated body, but where's this animation coming from? because that's who you are. Okay. Not your hand. It's the thing that moves the hand. That's where you come from. And I call that, and some people may experience this as the neutral observer, where perhaps you have a sense that are people that at some point kick into their higher selves, or they just like, there's another layer of awareness of me that kind of looks at this me in this physical expression. And then that's starting the connection between you and your higher self. And then from that, it moves and expands because we're all geometry, we're all gematria. We are a grid system connected to a larger, to a solar system grid system that's connected to a galactic grid system, and so on and so on. So as we start, you know, reconnecting ourselves to the higher part of ourselves, then we really do remember who we are and the power, just like that elephant, the power that we have. So I want to talk about our ability to shift things, right? So I had another experience. This was, you know, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago or so. And this was after 9/11. And of course, like for all of us, you know, when you see a horrible thing like that, it's very traumatic. And particularly I grew up in New York, so that was my neighborhood. And I actually did have a premonition about 9/11 before, but I didn't understand it. Quite frankly, there is a picture there of a large table, and that's where President Bush at the time had, you know, all of his advisors around this huge table. That is what I saw in the 9/11 dream, and people around there and a guide. I said, "What's going on?" And he says something to the effect that, you know, there's an attack or somebody got hurt, and it had to do like the box cutters, which they found box cutters, by the way, that was part of it. But I didn't understand. I didn't do anything about it. Of course, traumatized afterwards. So now, some years later, I am seeing a plane in my dream experience, and I differentiate that between regular dreams. These are dream experiences that are more lucid, that are so real, you know, it's a message, you're observing yourself, or you could tell the difference between, you know, eating pizza late at night and you have some kind of crazy dream. So in this dream experience, I see this plane flying across the sky. I see this huge window. I'm standing in front of a huge rectangular window. And so I'm observing what's going on, and it was going to go down because it wasn't a skyscraper. It was like a municipal building. It was close, you know, smaller to the ground, not high. And I see the plane going down, and in the dream experience, I'm like watching this. I'm saying, "Oh no, not again, not again, not again." And I'm very upset and emotional over it. I wake up. I had that, I think maybe one of a few dreams I would say I've had reoccurring. Okay, so of course I keep on thinking about it. I keep on thinking about it. I'm uncomfortable about it. I'm sensing something horrible is going to happen. And meanwhile, you know, what can I do about it? That's how I was thinking at the time. So finally, this comes to where actually my son and my mom and I went to Las Vegas on a vacation. And we stayed at the MGM Grand. So when I walk into the MGM Grand, there goes the window, clear as day, that I see in this dream experience. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, that's the window. It's going to happen." You know, and then finally I'm saying to myself, I got upset. I said, "Well, why? Why would I get a premonition of something to happen and I can't do anything about it?" And that's when the idea came into my head. You know, you don't have to accept this, you know? And I'm like, "Wait a minute." I was really upset. I was angry. I was like, "Well, don't give me the daggone things if I can't do anything about it." And then that's when the idea came, well, maybe I can do something about it. And what I started to do, I said, "No, no, 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 no." And in my mind, for some of your audience, when they used to have the Ghostbusters movie, they had the little round with the slash. That symbol is used a lot of times. That's the symbol I imprinted on this dream experience, like, No. And I really started to pray, Jane, that please, you know, God, whatever this is, it does not happen. No, we don't need another 9/11. And I prayed about it. Well, it stayed in my mind constantly. How could it not? So where I was, always thinking about this dream experience. So then finally I hear on the news, like a day later or 2 days later, whatever it was, that they had apprehended this man at Heathrow Airport in England. And he put the explosives in his shoes, right? Which is why we take our shoes off today at a TSA when we travel on the airplane. And his intention was to hijack that plane, you know, with these explosives that he hid in his shoes, and to crash it into an American embassy. That's what they, and which was not a skyscraper. So when I heard this, I was like, oh my goodness, was that me? And so what I come to understand is this: there's so many people who are praying for peace. There's so many people that hold goodness and kindness in their hearts, and they're just praying. I was thinking of the Tibetans. They're constantly with their, you know, prayer wheels. Thank goodness, or there wouldn't even be light on this planet. There wouldn't even be light. There's the story of Sanat Kumara and the Kumaras. You know, when they looked at this planet and said, wow, this is really a really dark planet. You know, they always like, you know, we just need to like, you know, forget this place. And Sanat Kumara, the legend goes, says, no, I'll come. I'll go. Don't give up on this planet yet. And he came with 144,000 Kumaras. And they lit the light and it was snuffed out. Lit it a second time, snuffed out, until finally it took 3 tries for that light just to start to kind of have some energy and bring light to the darkness. Okay, so here we are in a similar scenario.
I have a question. So who and how has manipulated us to not know our own power and how much power we actually have to change things. And, you know, I feel like there's magicians at work that actually change the way something looks as well, because 9/11 wasn't even what we think, right?
It was a
demolition from the bottom up. Yeah. So yeah. I'm like, just give us a little bit of what
you're
it's like, who's behind that? And like, you know, like, it's crazy. Okay.
Well, there are different names for this. Rudolf Steiner calls this energy Ahriman. There are other people that may call Lucifer. There are different names that are out there in different traditions. The Gnostic Gospel really goes into details, and this is information that was left out of our traditional Bible. And that was from the Council of Nicaea, much of these sacred books, to where, you know, there were books that if you had those books, just as we've seen before, like in Nazi Germany, burning information, you know, burying this information by the powers that be, not to get out to the masses because they want to control the masses, where you have the avatars of light like Zoroaster, you know, Jesus the Christ, the Buddha, that come in and say, hey, guys, let me tell you who you really are. You're thinking you're just this, but you're really this. And so those forces, which they have an agenda as to why they want to keep, you know, this humanity, you know, in a matrix or in a box, is because they derive some benefit from doing that in their control of power, not even understanding through their own ignorance, okay, that there's something even higher, but they're like, we're the king of the hill. And we want it to stay this way. We feel we're equal to any other power than that, because what are they? They're co-creators too. We all, you know, this creation, they have the power to create it. So they have, you know, there has been the tradition. I know I was brought up a Catholic, Roman Catholic. And so there was always the story of 1/3 of the angels fell. And, you know, back when I was younger, I was like, I don't know. You know, that was like until and then now, you know, doing my own independent research and, you know, inspiration that has led me to ancient books, the Colburn Bible, which I know people haven't heard of the Colburn Bible, right? The Colburn Bible, and a good friend of mine, Reverend Robin, who really studies that. It talk about, you know, the firstborns, and the firstborns are trying to tell future generations. I mean, how many people know about the Colburn Bible that talks about this? Also, too, the Book of Manny. The Book of Manny came into my life in a very profound way. I'm like, the word mannequin, like a Manichaean. And I'm like, you know, somebody said, you know, like, you are a Manichaean. I'm like, a Manichaean? What is a Manichaean? Well, a Manichaean, if you look it up, it is a word that we do use in the English language. But Manichaean derives from the prophet Manny. I'm like, who's Manny? I'm sure you're saying, who's Manny? Manny, again, talked about the, was a prophet there in the Middle East. And he was talking about what Jesus the Christ said. He says, look, okay, this world is like a false construct. This is not really the world we come from. We want to get to the world we come from. So listen, these are the traps that you got to look out for. Okay, money, greed, lust, you know, envy, those sort of things. Okay, that's the trap. You have an animal body. Okay, but really, you're not your animal body. You're really the spiritual body. That's what you need to connect to. But the animal body and the manipulation is keeping you this way. So you're like, oh my gosh, you know, they're telling you everything. And then of course, what has happened and what was so profound, and I do have the Book of Manny, and anybody could get it. They just translated it, you know, to English. So now this information is just getting out. And it was said, and people would not know, that Manichaeism was a spiritual movement that took over the entire, practically the entire world. It was like 2/3 of the world was Manichaeism, which allowed, listen to this, different cultures, you know, to express God, love, unconditional love in their own way. So they didn't say it has to be this way or it has to be that way. They just said, you just need to move in that Christ or divine light energy. And then you had the ones that were like, well, we're devoted to this, so we're going to be like the priest. We're just, this is all we're going to do. You had the ones that were the family. They had a breakdown in it, but you could chant, you could pray, you could dance. So whatever expression of that love for the divine was okay with Manichaeism, the idea was to move forward. And then also, too, you would have to think like these, I know a church in Ethiopia, the idea was that Rome, okay, was the Antichrist, if you will, those energies. And so like the church of Ethiopia, there's a famous church, I don't remember the name. To get to this church, you had to climb a mountain and you would have people climb. And the idea was to get away in the world, but not of it. That same concept that we're here, but we are aware that there's something more. And that's where we want to put our focus on, because those forces are there and they're traps to keep us into this matrix, if you will. So yeah, and so as I said, it's the duality or the spiritual war, if you will, happens on a much higher galactic universal level. But that's why you hear in all traditions that there's some day of reckoning coming to get that straightened out. There's some kind of return of somebody. But if you read the Nag Hammadi and the Dead Sea Scrolls, they go into those stories as well as other resources.
Right. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we are in those times. Yes. I believe we are. And it's an exciting time to live.
It is. And let me just share one other dream experience, being we're talking about the dream experiences. So, one other thing was what came up, and I just want to say again that don't forget now, you have the power. If you get premonitions, okay, and it's something that you're not feeling good with, just remember you have the power to shift that or to influence it at the very minimum or mitigate it. So I just want the audience to know that you can do that.
Right. Okay. And you can experiment with nature even. I've had extreme storm clouds overhead and just, you know, experiment with it to see if I could connect with them and get them to move. I mean, you don't know for sure that you have, but
I have.
You kind of go, wow.
I have.
Yeah.
I'll tell you real quick with that. First of all, we had Hurricane Irma really come some years ago. It was going to come very directly to our Sarasota area in Florida. And there was a lot of, you know, concern and panic and so forth. And so actually got together. There was about 100 people on the call. And I said a prayer, absolutely honoring the elements and the elementals. You know, Mother Earth has to do what she needs to do. Look at our collective unconscious. You know, my gosh, she's been very tolerant with us, but for her to even maintain some semblance of balance, she has to do her thing. So with great honoring of what she has to do, what and the elements that are involved to do that, we ask with great humility if they could adjust it in a way that it would not impact, you know, the community at large, if it could go out of that way. And that's exactly what happened. And on the Doppler radar, you will see in Sarasota, Florida, okay, when Irma was here, there was a heart shape around Sarasota. It went all over the place.
Oh, wow.
Now, the second thing, just letting you know, I was driving to Georgia from Florida, and it was like this horrendous throughout the entire thing, rainstorms. And the thought came to me, said, you know, you have power over the elements. You have power over this water. I'm like, what? You know, so it's like, I don't know. You have to wrap your mind around that. So, you know what I did? Hey, I've done crazier things and had crazy experiences. So I was like, okay, let me give it a try. I'm really going to say, listen, with all my heart, thank you for rating. I appreciate you, blah, 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 blah. But can it just be a way so I don't have to run into such, you know, stress and driving either before or after, but not during? And I'm here to tell you, Jay, that's exactly what happened. And now I know I can do that.
And to connect to your power too, you connect to your heart. And then there's this sense of belief that you're connected to the elements and everything, right?
Well, the Native Americans did their rain dance, okay? And it's not just them that did the rain dance. They're your shamans and, you know, your priests and so forth have done things or have used the names of God, which that's what I use. You know, there are five sacred languages on this planet. They're Hebrew, Tibetan, Sanskrit, Egyptian, and Chinese. And meaning that these sacred languages came to the earth, not developed from the earth. So Hebrew, and they're all powerful, but Hebrew, you know, goes as close as maybe the original Adamic language. And you have to remember that these were higher elevated until, you know, we came into these physical, you know, dense bodies. But even if you could use some of them, that's why the music of the spheres and you have different spiritual traditions that music is so important because music or sound creates. And when you do the water, you know, with the salt and they have different sound, you see the different geometries. Well, we are vibratory beings. We're, you know, ever changing geometries. And so when we use our voice, and whether even somebody say is deaf, I mean, you know, they're mute, they can't, it doesn't matter. It's a vibration, the intention is that even as you know, beyond measure, what we are part of, our tone is unique to us in the orchestra of all creation. I think that's so powerful that your voice, your vibration is heard. It's recognized throughout that. And when you could use that power by like an open sesame, you know, type of thing, or abracadabra. These are sounds that have certain keys to unlock certain things. So whenever you read, you see, even in the Emerald Tablets with Thoth, he talks about the sound and the emotion and the intention and how that recapitulates, you can change even open up another portal if you know how to do that, you know, with this sound. So sound is important.
Right. And like what I'll do is ask to remember how to do that because I don't have the details now, but and knowledge is power, right? The more you know, the better. But I feel like so many have the knowledge within them. They just need to
come out. Yeah. So the knowledge that came out, you know, as we all go in our individual and collective journey was now you can use these words of power just as the ancients did. For good, to help, to assist. And that's when, you know, we all have the divine synchronicities. We're all on our individual paths and, you know, brings us to our next level. I come across the magical war of World War II. And I see where at the time, Dion Fortune perhaps, and another gentleman, but they were part of what we would call the light worker community. They were the mystics. They were keeping the light in the face of darkness. And Germany, in addition to bombing England, was going to go over the English Canal and invade like they did all the rest of Europe. You know, their troops were going in. And so what this spiritual community did, they came together and they were like me, no. No, we're stopping it. That thought and the higher powers connected to that thought form. So don't think it's just Hitler, okay, or those people. They're also being influenced on another level. Just like how we can be influenced in the light of our family of light, the Amishadai, on a higher level. So they're picking up the thought forms now, okay, of this, you know, Aramon or whatever you want to call the, I call it the anti-human agenda. So they're picking up the thought forms as an anti-human agenda. On that same level, they're praying for the higher. They're not doing it by themselves. They're tapping to the higher realms of light. Okay, the children of the earth saying, hey, we need help. Let's stop that. And Germany never invaded, never did. And many, many in England will tell you they truly believe that's because this, you know, society of light workers came together and stopped it. So at the Cosmic Center Spiritual Light, we have done at least two of doing that same thing. One was before January 6th, because I got very clearly a communication from over a year ago that there could be a civil war in the United States, which at the time I was like, that's impossible. I couldn't even wrap my mind on that, the United States. Though it was there, I was guided to watch The Handmaid's Tale. I mean, you know, I heard about it, but it wasn't anything like, oh, I got to go watch. It was like, no, you got to watch The Handmaid's Tale. I watched it twice and made sure I got everything on there because I knew it was a communication coming in from some higher part of myself. Like, you need to pay attention to this. You need to do this. I said, okay, now, okay, I get it. Something is, there could be a possible, you know, war. I saw it. And then I saw something even worse, you know, that, you know, the same scenario as the Handmaid's Tale could happen in the United States. And I felt the energy is coming closer. So what I did is I sent an email out to everybody and I said, look, we got to do this, come together, and we have to hold this higher thought form, stop this other negative thought form that wants to anchor and make this happen. And we used the names of God. That's what we did. And we chanted them over and over and over and over again. And well, everybody is aware of what happened on January 6th at the Capitol in the United States. And the reality is, as upsetting as that was, okay, it could have been much worse. We could have gone into a completely different timeline right now. And I know in my heart, Jane, I know in my heart, you know, that if some of us are aware and awake and we're given direction and we follow it, that shifted that timeline. Because I saw it clearly. I saw death. I saw a murder. I saw absolutely 100% and a taking over of the government and a war. I saw it and I feel that we shifted it. Now, are we out of the woods? No, because there's always this constant of the anti-human agenda trying to ignite. And that's why we can't get caught up in the drama. We have to realize it for what it is and rise above it and work from that level.
Right. So give us the skinny on timelines, because You know, some haven't even heard the idea of jumping timelines.
Okay, so, well, the idea is that, all right, thoughts or forms, thought forms, right? So you have the thoughts, you have thoughts that originate from yourself, but you have outside influences too, right? So it's the proverbial, you know, little devil on one shoulder and angel on the other shoulder and divine for your attention. Okay. The thoughts that are uplifting, you can do it. You are beautiful. You're inspired, you know, make a difference in the world, you know, remember who you are, you know, that's coming from your higher self, your, you know, your true self. Okay. And then the ones that are saying, who do you think you are? You think you can do that? Nobody likes you. You're not even worthy to be loved. You shouldn't even be here. Da, 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 da. That's that anti-human agenda that's doing that. So you have to become aware of your thoughts. That's the first part of your spiritual development. It's like, oh my God, because your thoughts have tremendous power. You know, and so the people that are unconscious and they're saying, oh, this is going to kill me. Oh, my back, you know, da, da, you know, they're saying these negative things. You have to be so careful what comes out of your mouth because you're creating it. So at any rate, what ends up happening is that when you have these two competing things, all right, is this is where your choice comes in as a divine co-creator. You can give in to the one that's saying, appeals to lower part of yourself. What is that? Fear, you know, low self-esteem, you know, all of that stuff, and get caught up in that little matrix, right? Or, and that one tends to be loud. So I'm going to share a little trick that I did to control that. So like, for example, I would have an experience, you know, as a light worker or a psychic experience. And I'm like, wow, I think this, that, and the other. And then I would hear this other side of me because it's working on my low self-esteem. Oh, come on. You think you can connect with Melchizedek? Who do you think you are? People are going to think you're crazy. Blah, 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 blah. So I learned to go, shh. I would turn my head and go, shh, to stop it. And I kept on doing that over and over and over again until it didn't come in as much. And that's how I was able to build up the confidence in myself that why would God give me this information? I'm not supposed to do something about it. And no, I'm not crazy. The world is crazy. I know who I am. And then you start your whole blossoming from that. So yeah, that's very much present on our planet. And we have to become aware of it and then temper that.
Right. So your thoughts create your future, and depending what you're thinking would create a different timeline. Yeah.
So what happens with this? So just figure like this. There's so many and it's so expensive. Let's just say you had a high school sweetheart and, you know, one timeline was going to be where you would get married, you know, and that's going to be that particular timeline. But something got skewed. It didn't happen. And so you end up, your life goes in a different direction. You marry somebody else. Okay. And then that's how your life is going. We actually live in a quantum field of all possibilities. And there are many of those who feel, and I believe this is true because I've experienced it myself to a degree, is that that timeline of marrying your childhood sweetheart exists in some reality. The timeline that you're currently in is moving in that direction, but every decision that we make, okay, is going to gear how that timeline. So that's the same like door number one, door number two, door number three. What is going to be our timeline? And now there are those that do believe, I had experience once where I was in a place, it turned out where years later I found that it was Peru because there was a rock formation that was very specific. And I was married as I was married then, and I had a son as I have a son now. But there were different people, and it was in a different place on the world. And that was me. And so that was just a little clue. And then you have now that something that's called the, the Mandela effect. Okay, and many people are experiencing this. And in Mandela effect, you know, the Monopoly, the guy that has the little, you know, what you call it, monocle. And there are people saying he's always had the monocle. And you have people said, no, he's never had the monocle. And then you contact the company and they're like, no, he's never had a monocle. But millions of people say this guy had a monocle. And there are millions of people who thought that Mandela died in prison. And there's millions of people saying, no, he didn't. But it's like two different realities. So the Mandela effect goes into, again, touching on this concept that there's multiple timelines or multiple, what I want to say, projections, a trajectory, you know, as how things are going to go. And it's constantly changing depending on our individual thoughts, our collective thoughts, you know, as a, say, a country or a world and so forth. Now they have people who jump timelines. I haven't done that, but there is this concept that you could go into a timeline, say that is things worked out different than the current timeline you're in. You know, you were able to succeed in doing some things that in this timeline you haven't or you wanted to, and that you could get that knowledge from the timeline where you have, as everything is all connected, if you could get to that level, and let me draw from the experience of this timeline and bring it into this current timeline.
Right.
So it's really amazing. It's a very interesting topic.
Isn't it? And again, it shows just how powerful we are.
Exactly.
And you just have to look into these things and be curious, right? Because it's, I think
curiosity is the start, of course.
Yeah.
And that's what makes us explorers. You know, it's our curiosity that we have an explorer aspect to our beingness, meaning that we can't just be static. We have to move or evolve, you know, and that part of us as the curiosity is that part of the explorer part of us, you know, to make known the unknown, to make known. That's what we're here to do, to make known the unknown.
Right. And I think there are those, like you say, what did you call them? The anti-human.
I call it the anti-human agenda.
I think they understand this very well, controlling what the trying to control outcomes and spelling us or keeping us under spells and that kind of thing. And I think we need to become very curious about what you're talking about
and aware, because this is
and aware. Yeah.
When people are totally unconscious and they're into their, you know, get up, go to work, come back, you know, just this, you know, life where it's very, and it's becoming more oppressive, as you know. You know, you have all the stuff to do, this is the expectations and all of that. So you don't even have time to sit, reflect, who am I, walk in nature, things like that, you know, to live a contemplative, reflective life. Our society is not geared for that. And I feel there's an absolute agenda for that. I feel there's an absolute agenda of dumbing down America in particular, because America does have a destiny. It is a light to the world. And they're trying real hard to snuff that light out. You turn on TV and it's just like crap that's on there, dumbing us down. So is there an agenda to keep up? Absolutely there is. So those that are kind of waking up and saying, wait a minute, this is not right, because it's coming from another level. It's not even coming from a global level. You have the little minions that report, you know, to the galactic generals, if you will, you know, that they're having the influence and they're just like little pawns that are manipulating everything. But this is the good news. The good news is that when we are tapped into our own consciousness and committed to the unfoldment of our consciousness and to bring forth our enlightenment, when we choose to walk our spiritual path, moving to our own higher soul pulse that's pulling us, okay, when we start to change and say, I am going to be kind, I am going to be forgiving, I forgive myself, I forgive others, we start doing those holy attributes, okay, and then move away from the animal instinct and more into the spiritual thing, then we cannot be affected by the energetic manipulation that's going on with humanity right now. We cannot be affected by it. So do you know, Jane, that they have technology out there to intercept meditations, intercept prayers. You know, meditations is going to frequency align you with the higher realms of light and make that connection. They have technology out there. I know it sounds crazy, but it's true, that intercepts. Just like how you have like these new technologies using sound as weapons and things like that, where they have these technologies that intercept that. But what happens? We still have been doing the anchoring light meditation. Actually, this week is 14 years of doing the anchoring light transmission meditations at the Cosmic Center Spiritual Life for 14 years, every Monday without fail, 14 years. And so we now, they can't stop. They've tried, but they can't, because we just go up to the next frequency and then the next frequency and then the next frequency until it's like, don't even bother trying because we're just going to go higher. But what about those people who are not aware of that? They can manipulate them all day long. They can keep them in fear all day long. They can get possessed all day long. You look, okay, fear has been the greatest manipulator on this planet. And that is the basis of everything that you see that's the anti-human agenda. Fear to the point where you feel your neighbor is separate from you. And fear for your survival, you have to get rid of anything that's not your tribe or your vicinity or whatever it is that you choose to separate. And then when you have that kind of rage or fear, that's, and then people use drugs and alcohol to escape the world because it's just so much. You open portals within yourself for those higher energetic beings, not too far away. They could be right there in the astral plane or wherever. Then that is where they come in, and a level of possession takes place. And then you'll hear people do the most like atrocities and say, I didn't even know I did that. Because you didn't, but your body was used and manipulated for the anti-human agenda by other forces. You know, and sometimes people say, this is important to say, you know, some, this topic could be scary for some people, like, oh my God, you know, no. This is what you need to know. And this, I can tell you 100% because I do it all the time. I've had some psychic attacks. I've had, you know, I'm on the radar. Many of us are on the radar. Okay. But then you could cower and say, oh my God, we're not doing this by ourselves. We come from the family of light. So whenever I've been challenged, I laugh. I'm like, are you kidding me? I said, do you know who I'm with? Okay. I hold the Christ divine Maitreya energy. Okay. I hold Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh, the eternal father, the eternal one. I'm clear as to what I'm aligned with, which is the Ein Sof, the limitless light. I remember who I am. You got to go. You got to go. They have to go. Because they know that I remember who I am, just how Jesus was tempted, you know, for the 40 days, you get that. And Jesus like, please, do you know who I'm connected with? My father, get out of here. And that's the same thing. So you can walk an empowered life fearlessly.
Yeah. And there are days when you feel like you are under attack and all you have to do is ask to be protected and have that leave.
And we forget to do that, Jane. We forget to do that. We have to remember, because we are in this creation of choice. Okay. And so I ask for divine intervention on a regular basis all the time. We have to remember to ask. You know, when I sometimes, I run an organization and, you know, you're dealing with different personalities and just the regular stuff of life. And it's like, I can't even handle this. I'm like, you take care of it. Just tell me what to do. You handle it. And that's when you release it. And when you do, and you know, and you believe it, not only you believe, you just know, it's always taken care of. Life is so much easier that way.
Yeah. It's, again, remembering your inner power, right? And that connection.
And your connection to a light and a power and an unconditional love that's beyond our comprehension. that we are so loved. This is one of the things too I want to share with your audience is that nobody should be walking around with a self-esteem problem ever. Because if we could pierce through the illusion and the delusion of this world matrix, of this gravitational pull of the planet and go beyond that, we are honored, we are loved, we are supported by so many sentient beings. They're like, oh my gosh, look at these earth humans. They're like these light workers that are in the body. We are, oh my God, we are just like rock stars. We're rock stars in the universe, that we come here to do this work because of our capacity to hold unconditional love and compassion. We're here on the planet because of our capacity of love, you know, and loving unconditionally. And this experience is not a walk in the park. It's kind of challenging to reach that level to be able to do that, you know, because of all the plethora of the distractions and the manipulations, stirring your own emotions. And I would tell people that when they feel that they're being agitated, and it's not just agitated on this level, but agitated on other levels too, frequencies and stuff like that, you know, I always take a deep breath, you know, I get myself back and centered. And what's so important that's helpful to everybody is that you maintain your balance by any means necessary. If I have to go into the cave, if I have to disappear for a week, if whatever it is, I need to stay in bed, if I have to have a wellness day, if whatever it is, I'm just going to have a book day, you know, I'm going to go into a cabin by myself for a few hours, whatever it is for you, or I'm just going to watch TV, you know, whatever it is to help you keep the balance. That's so key, because that's how the higher thought forms come in. It can't come in if you're like this. You have to be balanced to be able to receive the higher information. And don't forget that anti-human agenda wants what? Wants you not to be balanced, wants you to be like this, wants you to be in a state of constant chaos and stress and, you know, argumentative and upset and raged, and it's energetic. And we have to know to say, hey, I'm falling into this. I got to step back, take a deep breath, breathe. Breath will help you get back into your center. So when you see me breathing really hard, you know, there's some stuff going on, right? For me to kind of get back, depending on the situation, I'm like, okay, I'll address that another day, or I'm back in my peace, or I need to take a break, whatever it is. Then you become really a master in maintaining your peace, even in the midst of chaos. So you could be the person that's the calming, peaceful, energetic in a chaotic environment, as opposed to you being sucked into that chaotic environment. You come and you make peace for others so they don't get sucked into it. Yeah, you bring the calm and the balance.
Yes, and the more of us that do it, the more change in a positive way. And it's just going to be a huge ripple. So Absolutely. It's more than important to get what you're saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, the power that we hold, and first we must cultivate it in ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So we must learn how to be peaceful in the midst of chaos. We have to be the one to remember that this is not all there is, but there's so much more, and we're tapped into something so much more profound. We are the ones that have to remember that we have the whole the higher heart of compassion, unconditional love. We are the ones that have to remember, we have to forgive. It doesn't matter. Forgive everything and everybody, everything and everybody. And we, doing that, release our own ancestors, release our own tribals, because we are then contributing to the human collective and raising it up. One person. This is how powerful you are. One person who decides to walk on the path of unconditional love, okay? It ripples, as you said, throughout the collective unconscious. And maybe that one person that you spoke to, that you calmed down, that you gave a smile, because the more light energy you hold, it is our light quotient that we're able to consistently hold, is that a smile to one person across the room is more impactful than you would have, because that smile is coming from a higher energetic. That thought of a look into somebody else's eyes is like the look of love that is healing, can heal that person instantly. We don't realize that we have this power. So Jesus said, as I can do, remember the beggar that touched the hem and he was healed. And, you know, Jesus, hey, as I can do this, you can do it too. And just real quick, I have to just share this in light of this story. I had to go somewhere. I had to get gas. And so where I stopped, it was sort of like not in the greatest neighborhood, you know, it was a bit depressed, no press and that sort of thing. And I went into this store and, you know, energetically, I felt it immediately. It was very dense and dark and oppressed. And when I walked in, I saw this young man. I, you know, scanned a place just to go get what I needed to get done, pay for the gas and come out. And as I walked in and I could see this young man, he was on drugs. You know, you could see that he was, you know, desolate. And most of the people that were in there kind of looked that way. But when I looked him in the eyes, I saw him and he was really a good looking young man. And I looked at him and he looked at me and he said, "Are you an angel?" And he like, I was, in his mind, an angel that came. Maybe in his wherever he was at, as a source of inspiration, that he would even say the word angel, you know. And I looked at him when he said that, and I smiled at him. Now I don't know what happened after that, but that was in that instant there was a connection of light that came into wherever he was at mentally and emotionally, you know. So that's why I say smile often, be kind, you know, hello, you know, your smile can do such profound healing and upliftment because it's contributing to the divine collective on the planet.
Yeah, hugely powerful. And, you know, we've been programmed to not realize the power of that too, but it's really beautiful what you're talking about. How do people find more of you if they...
Yes. Well, we have what I call our Cosmic Center Spiritual Light University. So first of all, I am the spiritual leader of the Cosmic Center of Spiritual Light that's located in Sarasota, Florida. And we just opened up totally post-COVID, actually on Monday. But we also offer Zoom classes, many things free to the public. So where you can go on our Facebook page, you know, subscribe and like us. And that's, you know, Cosmic Center of Spiritual Light. There's only one, you'll see it on our Facebook page. But also go to our YouTube, because a lot of information I talk about, a lot of the experiences that you have, like with the anchoring light and so forth, is uploaded on our YouTube channel. So I would say if you like, wow, I want to know more and all of that, that would be the first place I would recommend, is to go subscribe and like, because we're constantly putting new information on there. So Reverend Robin, the Coburn Bible. Then we do have a Vimeo. And every so often, we have like classes on those Vimeos that you can learn. We've had, like, for example, William Henry of Ancient Aliens. We have Alan Steinfeld, you know, of New Realities. We have like really global actors out there that we have available as well, too. But people can be part of the Anchoring Light meditation. Just go to our website, ccosl.com, okay, or our meetup group. And once you register, you're in. You can come to the meditations. We have our Sunday Sabbaths, and all of this is free. We we depend on donations and volunteers. And that's how we've existed now for 9 years. 9 years. Simply, nobody gets paid a salary. This is all being done in higher service.
Beautiful. So it's very, yeah. And just incredible what you're doing. I love it so much. And thank you so much for sharing with us. And
it is my honor and my pleasure to do that. And thank you, Jane, for what you do. Because, you know, all of us are playing our important roles. And just ending this is that light workers are everywhere in different positions. And you could say, you don't have to be, you could be that plumber that comes into somebody's home and says, hello, how are you? Let me fix this for you. And da, 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 da. And just your energy. It doesn't matter. Only you can do what you do to be part of the divine plan. Only you can do it. So everybody has their puzzle piece that they're the click in that is creates the whole divine collective of this whole ascension thing. So everybody's role is so important. So your role is so important that you made the choice out of your busy schedule to say, I need to do this and have a podcast, bring people in. So all of us are doing what it is that we need to do or should be doing what we need to do. Because if you don't write that book, if you don't do that podcast, or you don't follow through on that inspiration that came, then that has a ripple effect too. That person wouldn't come across it. That would be a different kind of way. See what I'm saying? So we all have our roles. So important.
Exactly. And to even, you know, live your, be the most authentic part of who you are, then you pop into that puzzle piece even more powerfully, right? So to discover.
Absolutely. That. And you know, that is so true, Jane. Just again, I tell this to a lot of very young people, that I get it because being on a conscious spiritual path like this is not necessarily easy in the masses of the world that's out there. And there's a lot of maybe discouragement or ridicule or stuff. You know, I had to at some point just say, okay, I'm going to embrace being crazy then, you know, but I have to follow my, and it took a while, you know, because the world doesn't want that to happen, you know, family, friends, you know, conditioning, schools, you know, work, whatever it is. But the thing that you must, this is like even just starting out on your path, you must be your authentic self. You must, and then when you become your authentic self, it's like you rise up to another level and you find all the other beautiful beings of light that are there with you. So sometimes you're going to have to outgrow friends. You're going to have to outgrow your neighborhood. You're going to have to outgrow that. You cannot stop your growth and your authenticity, okay, because you feel that you have everything else has to come along. No, you will do it. And by your doing it, others will follow.
Amen. So beautifully said. Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jane. It's been wonderful. I always look forward to be on this show with you anytime. I'm happy to come back and chat on different topics. I appreciate all that you do and who you are.
Let's do it again.
Yes. I love to your audience.
Thank you. And for everyone out there, don't forget, don't give away your power to anyone else. Be the creator of your own life. Spiral up, spiral out.